I don't know if Patricia, I guess you watched it too, Patricia. I don't know if you have any questions you want to ask about that.
Go ahead.
Okay. One of the things that stuck out for me is, I kind of do this where, you know, Florida's asked me to show people their garden or whatever. And, you know, he's allowed me to actually see their garden or wherever he wants, so I can actually see their experience. But, you know, one of the things that you were saying that I found interesting, you know, I never, because all this stuff just kind of happened, I didn't really go through a process. I just found stuff happening. One of the things I found interesting is, you know, when you were talking about praying in your spirit and meditating on the word, you know, being able, so even though I already do stuff like that, you think it's a good idea that I go back and practice that too, I guess is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, the key is you're not just doing this for you, but you're doing this for who God is going to enable you to mentor in the future. Mm-hmm. So if you don't understand the process and the issues with the process, then it's very difficult to be able to mentor someone else through it, so that if they come across issues or problems, if you've gone through the same process, then it's much easier to relate to what people are doing. Other than giving them a theoretical approach to something, you've done it. You know, I'm not saying that people have to spend a long time doing it. If they can do it easily, then there's no problem. But actually, for most people, you know, I don't know, in terms of praying in tongues, can you pray in tongues three ways? You know, because there's three ways of releasing tongues, not just one, two. And actually being able to operate with the third way is really, really important, because that is where we can pray without ceasing. So there's little things like that where I think it's very beneficial to engage with it. But simply because of that, I think.
Yeah, that's really good. No, it's just not something I ever developed, just because I didn't go through that process with you. But no, I think you're right. I've been thinking about that. So I went back and I read your blog post about a couple of those things. And I see your point where it's just good. These are all skill sets we just need to develop in the whole. And so I just thought that was really interesting. And that was, like I said, that was a really helpful blog post yesterday, just because, you know, you just kind of do. You're like, well, where is this going? And, you know, what's the next step? And what does this look like? So I thought that was really good. Oh, did you catch that, or?
Yeah, I caught most of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so if anybody else has any questions, I don't want to take up the whole time. So if nobody else has any question, I would love to share an experience with you. You know, last time we talked, you know, I mentioned something about not going back to courts, and, you know, I'd had these experiences in the past, but lately it just seemed to be really about intimacy. And so I really took what you were saying to heart, and I looked back at some situations I'd been through. And I was just talking to the Lord about that, and then one morning he just showed up and presented me with a vial. And so a while ago he showed me I had a room in heaven that I could go and work on oils and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, so the Lord and I would just go and have lunch there sometimes, or, you know, just sit there and talk, but I'd never really done anything. So when I got this vial, I smelled it, and I just, like, had the most amazing sense of peace. And I'm like, God, I would just love to share this with people. So he's like, well, do you want to go make some? And so we went to the room and actually made some. And I'm like, well, how do I share this? And he's like, well, you send one of your angels, and they'll bring it to the person. And so I was actually able to do that with like three or four different people. And it was so exciting. It was so fun. And the thing that I just loved about it is the angel was so excited. Like, the angel was just so excited to be able to do this. She's like, yay! So, anyway, I just wanted to share that because it was like, it was such an amazing, I mean, you just kind of wonder, like, you know, you see physical manifestations of what you do in heaven, but then to actually see a physical manifestation of what you've done in heaven, I was like, I just didn't really know that was possible, so I just wanted to share that. That was really exciting.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, it's great. I mean, it is, ultimately, we want to see manifestations of everything we do in heaven. Some of them are spiritual manifestations that aren't necessarily naturally seen by others, but when we release creativity, particularly in the realms like that of oil, fragrances, and particular anointings and different things, you know, why shouldn't we expect, because we're connected, it flow through us and engage around us? You know, and particularly, I mean, I think the angel being excited is really important because they're so underused. When they get to go on a mission like that, they are excited. You know, they have personality, you know, and you know, as we learn to engage with them, we see that more and more, and we'll begin to see that they long to have that type of interaction with us, and also the creativity of created something in the heavenly realms. You know, that is what, when we begin to mature, that's the things that we get to do, you know, and you know, you just scratching the surface, just imagine what's there within your spirit that you're destined to release and create and then see it manifested. It's great, really, really excellent testimony. And, you know, and for other people to take that testimony and just, again, release it for themselves and step into it, because it is something. You know, I mean, I remember sort of having an encounter in heaven, and nothing is dead in heaven. Everything is alive, and from the ground you stand on to the air, to the sort of atmosphere you breathe, it's all living and active. You know, and I was sitting with Jesus, and he had a piece of wood, and he was whittling this piece of wood, we were just talking, and I was sort of not really paying that much attention, but it was like, then I was sort of noticed, when he finished whittling, he whittled this like horse out of wood, you know, and I said, well, what are you doing? So he put it down on the floor, and it just came to life. It just began moving around, you know. And so he said to me, what would you like to create? You know? And I was sort of like, you just come with whatever comes in your head. So I said, oh, I'd really like to create a bird, which is just like how stupid a thing to say when I could have said anything. But it just came to me. So I said, well, what color do you want? And what is it going to look like? And so I just shared what flowed out of my thoughts, and there was this crest with rainbow on its head, and just this funny thing. And as I finished thinking about it and saying it, there it was flying. You know, and he actually said, you know, you will see that physically, actually in your own garden, and you'll see it, you know, released into the realms of heaven. So, oh, that's really cool. And, you know, because we're made in the image of God to be creative. Why not? You know, it's just we've never really thought about that dimension of creativity. You know, we can birth galaxies from our innermost being, you know, and I've done that. You know, I didn't really see what I did it, but it's one of those things that we do, you know, we can do, and we will have the capacity to do when we understand what we're doing. You know, sometimes, I mean, I was just taken out to the edge of a galaxy, and I'm looking around thinking, oh, where am I? What is this about? And I was looking up and looking at the stars and looking at different things. and just there was just this overwhelming desire to birth something came out, and this sort of infinity-shaped form of stars just flowed out, and then all the stars that I saw started forming into this pattern. You know, now I had no idea other than it was really cool, and you know, it was something which I know we will be called to do in the future. You know, I didn't. It was just, hey, a forerunner experience of something which I thought, yeah, there's so much more when we allow our spirits loose and when we just release that. You know? So it was great, really good testimony of that. So.
So, you know, the whole thing that you're talking about yesterday is mentoring. You know, I understand you're forming the alpha group right now, and I don't feel like right now is the time for me. I feel like the Lord wants to take me a little bit further in the process of character building and doing all of these things. But, you know, I would be very interested at some point. So is this something that you put out the call frequently, or is this something that you're, I don't know what your next step is in that, but I don't think I'm supposed to be a part of this right now, but in the future.
Sure. I mean, part of this process will be plenty of character building and dealing with being a living sacrifice and opening gateways. So, you know, it is going to take people right through the whole process of you know, a level of holiness which will release authority in the heavens, so that there will be that as part of it. I'm not really sure is the answer, because ultimately I'm doing this to develop the material so that we'll have this interactive manual, and then you know I want to offer that as an online academy to people to be able to become mentors. In the initial stage of it is the desire and the willingness to give it away to others and to mentor others in the future, because that's what the Joshua generation is. It mentors the next generation rather than keeping it to itself and not passing anything on. It has to be a generosity of heart to bless, you know, because if we're going to see a harvest of a billion or more people, 20% of the population, I believe, will become just the next generation of harvesters who need to be taken into the promised land of their inheritance. And that's what the Joshua generation will do. So, you know, how many mentors do you need for a billion people? A few, you know, at least, you know. So, you know, it's a task which it is important, and I believe, and God will not release that harvest if the Joshua generation isn't ready, because why would you release a harvest of people who are not going to be able to be equipped and discipled into their role to go out and minister and to be able to operate in the fullness of the kingdom and to be able to stand what's coming in terms of looking at the world systems and things, so that we can rise above it and we can rule from a different kingdom and we can demonstrate what it is to be cities of refuge in our own lives, but also develop cities of refuge both physically and spiritually. You know, there's a lot of work to be done. So this is just the first steps so that I can sort of get people to test drive the material and be part of the creative process and help me, you know, in developing it, because, you know, in interaction and does this work, does that work, I found this worked really well. Okay, we can add that exercise in to the development of it so that people can experience a broad spectrum of things to engage it, you know. And so that's really what it is. And so there will be in the future other groups, but I can't say when, you know, because I think it's not going to be a short process if we want to develop it fully. So you know, as long as it takes, but you know, once probably I've got partway through or maybe halfway through it, then I might then think about, you know, where do we go from there. And what I don't want to do is sort of get to the sort of the lie busting thing and, oh, well, we've got this these stages and then the material isn't ready. I want it ready and available for people so that they can embrace it. So I'm going to, you know, I want to make sure as well as I can. The initial stages will probably be a little bit rough and ready because it's in development. But ultimately, you know, when the resources become available, yeah, I want to develop it into a proper computer program rather than just a series of interactive things so that people can run it and use it. You know, and also as a written manual for those who are not necessarily having computer access, with probably a DVD of some sort that goes with it or something that they can, you know, use the exercises along with the manual. You know, but that's, you know, the resources to do that aren't quite there at the minute, so I've got to start where I am and go from there. So if that.
So I mean, that is an absolute desire of my heart. I mean, I can't. It's like I love to be able to take people to places in heaven. You know, I do it fairly frequent. I wouldn't say fairly frequently. You know, when the Lord leads me to do it, obviously, I do it. I mean, do you think that I mean, maybe I should just, where did I get an application? And, you know, maybe I'll just really carefully consider this and.
I mean, I can just email you. Okay. I think I've got your email address, so I think I can just email you the application and just pray over it.
Okay.
It is for those who feel that God wants them to do it. I mean, there's no pressure if people. You know, I would be happy if there was 5 or 10 people. It wouldn't bother me how many people. At the moment, there's like 60 or 70 people who've asked for application forms. Yeah. But there's no problem with that. I mean, I will just probably reshape how I do things to engage. But we'll see. I mean, I need to take the applications and then pray over them and seek God for, you know, the strategy that He wants to release right now. So. You know, there's no prayer if I'll send you a form, but if you just see what you feel God wants you to do.
Okay. Yeah. No, I do. It's absolutely the desire of my heart. The thing that I've loved so much about this process is, God, this is not just for me. This is not just for, you know, a special fruit. This is for everybody. And it's a thrill to be able, you know, when I brought this person to the Lord and to be able to take her into the encounter with the Lord, it was one of the great, it was such a joy to me because I'm like, this is not about me, this is about Jesus. And to get you have an encounter with the Lord is an extraordinary thing. And since then, you know, I've been speaking with this person probably on a weekly basis, and it's been a little bit of a process because, you know, I think that, you know, once you have an encounter with the Lord, how could you not want to go back? But, you know, I really had to encourage her in the process of going back and going to the garden, but I believe we're starting to see some good fruit out of this. And so, you know, it's absolutely one of the greatest joys to be able to share heaven with people. It's just an amazing thing.
Yeah, it is. But going on from that, what I believe is that rather than it being sort of random experiences, we can actually follow a pathway that trains us to rule from heaven. Now, it begins with you experience relationship and intimacy, and you develop that connection with God, which is the foundation for everything. You know, you can't rule as a king without a relationship as a priest, and you need that intimacy of relationship to develop. But it has to go beyond that to sonship is co-heiring with Jesus. It's being joint with Him, joining with Him in the kingdom, and that kingdom is a system of government. It's a system. That's what a kingdom is. You know, it's not just a physical place or a spiritual dimension. It is an administration of government, and that's ultimately what God wants to for us to take our responsibility as sons and to administer, because that has always been His intention, that we would have dominion and to rule not just on the earth or into the created physical universe, but also into the unseen and the eternal realm, because we are spirit, and we've always been spirit, and the God's desire is that we would be able to bring God's rule into those spiritual realms as well. And so we have to, you know, that isn't just going to happen. You know, we need to be able to equip and to enable people to work through their issues, because there are things that are going to hinder that, generational things. Obviously, lie busting deals with generational things. Going to the courts deals with generational issues. You know, it's like if we are not prepared to deal with the levels and layers that it talks about in Hebrews 4:12, you know, dividing soul and spirit, dividing thoughts and intentions in the heart and bone and marrow, if we're not able to do that and then mentor others, then there's going to be a whole load of people who are not operating fully at full capacity, because Jesus said the enemy's got nothing in me, and therefore he had the spirit without measure. Well, we need to be conformed to his image, and therefore we need to deal with those things in us that the enemy has in us, blockages, whatever, and obviously that flows from the inside out, developing who we are as a person in terms of our gateways and an understanding and identifying, you know, how the spirit flows through us and how the different areas of our soul interact, and bringing unity and wholeness and integration within our physical being and bringing soul and spirit together. But also it goes beyond that into, as I go into the realms of heaven, I need to deal with that which is on the outside, which are barriers behaviorally, and then the motives and thoughts of my heart, and then deal with seed and genetic stuff that may be triggers within my genetic material that is not from God, and therefore it may well be iniquitous patterns from generation that could be actual genetic material that needs to be resequenced using communion and other things to actually resequence ourselves back into what God wants, and to release everything, the fullness. You know, when you were, you know, talking about your experiences in heaven and different things, you know, Adam and Eve had capabilities that, you know, have been lost, and God wants to restore those abilities to us, to release those type of creative things, and to have the ability to use sound and light and the different frequencies at our, you know, call, if you like, to use them in this realm as well as the realms of heaven. You know, so there's a lot to do in preparation, and it's going to take a systematic approach to do it, because you can find so much teaching and so many experiences where people are sharing things, teaching this, teaching that, teaching the other, but actually people are struggling to find, well, where do I start? Where do I go from here? You know, how do I rule? You know, because it's not something that we've ever been taught to do. All the demonstration of the kingdom has been, well, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons. You know, you may be able to do some miracles here, but that's just the daily everything. Everyone should be doing that. You know, that's just daily life. It should be, in terms of the government of God, that's a different dimension of living in dual realms, which was why Jesus was able to do what he was able to do. We need to be able to do it the same way. So, you know, I think we are in an exciting period where the experiences are being released, which is really, really great. But we need to actually, what are those experiences for? You know, intimacy is awesome, but then, okay, responsibility is another thing. We have to see this running parallel to enable us to become who we're really called to be. And that's a journey that I guess we're all on in different ways. You know, I can personally, you know, raise up a Joshua generation to disciple a billion people. But I can be part of the process. And if I can do my bit and stimulate people who I'm connected with in relationship in some way to be able to encourage and support them in their journey, then that's what I can do. There may well be others out there who are called to do similar things using different ways that they're anointed to do and they've been given revelation about, which will release and reach other people. You know, at this point in time, I can't reach anybody who's not got a computer, because that's the only way I can release the media other than people who are here in the church. So there must be other ways of communicating with people, which we're going to have to find and develop. And that might be people going out physically and taking this message out and going to places where there is no access to physical media, and they're going to have to go and demonstrate it as disciples and people to follow. But those people will still have to know how to do it to be able to go and take that. You know, so it's equipping people as much as we can, really. You know, but it is a really vital position that we're in. You know, I think it's been nearly 40 years. Next year it will be 40 years since that prophecy of a billionfold harvest was released in 1975. And that is a generation. And I think there's something significant in that there's been a generation that have had the opportunity of hearing that call and responding. Now we're going to see who's going to go into the promised land or not. And there's no guarantee that everybody who's been going around the wilderness and having miracles and signs and wonders in their ministries that are going to be prepared to leave all that behind and step into another level of spiritual responsibility and kingdom responsibility in what we're doing. So I think next year will be a really key time when we're going to be called to cross over. You see, the Joshua generation actually were forerunners. Joshua and Caleb went into the promised land as spies. So they spied out the land before everyone else went in there. And that's why God is calling people and engaging people who are having experiences as forerunners, so that they can see there is more. This is a good land. You know, what we don't want is people having engaged heaven and engaged things and then turn around to the rest and say, oh no, that isn't for us. And some of them are on the verge of maybe doing that and discouraging people to go into the experiences that they have had themselves through whatever reason. I'm not going to go into that, but that's what the 10 did. Only 2 of the 12 came back with a good report. Well, I want to connect up with all those who have a good report of these experiences that they're having, and so we can then develop that. Because when you go into the land, there's a whole responsibility then to administer and to take ground and to, just like they did in the physical realm, they took possession of that which belonged to them and then began to administer it. Now, they didn't fully fulfill everything, because then they sort of mixed things up and the various things, as in the story, and you can read about it. But there was a whole different dimension of responsibility once they crossed over. And I believe, you know, that crossover point is coming up. So for me, I'm still living as a forerunner. You know, as much as I've experienced, I'm still a forerunner, because we've not yet crossed over, and that line has not yet been drawn, but it will be very soon. And so I want to be ready for that as much as I possibly can, which is why, you know, I have a sense of urgency that we really need to equip people quickly. And I believe there will be a supernatural acceleration. You know, what has taken me 20 years to develop these things, you know, people can do that so much quicker, you know, if they're willing to invest the commitment into it. That's the reality. You know, you can't have a relationship and you can't operate in government without spending the time to do it. And that's the challenge. Will I put this first and put God first priority, or does he have to compete with other things in my life that squeeze him out? And a lot of that can be ministry. You know, some people are so busy with ministry that God's got no place in intimacy in their lives. you know, and that ultimately will collapse, you know, because God is going to only work with those who will enter into rest and who are yoked to him and who know what it is to have light burdens and easy loads, or easy loads and light burden, whatever it is. So it's that dimension of intimacy that God is calling us to. So, you know, it is a challenge, you know, and it's going to be a challenge. And I think once, at the moment, the opposition is not focused in this direction, a lot of other people are taking the flak at the moment. But we've got to be ready that when we embrace the fullness of what we're called to do, then there are going to be some people, and some of those good Christian people, who don't want to know us anymore. And we've got to be ready for that, so therefore we need to be prepared as dead people who don't react to rejection or fear or any of the other things, or intimidation or control or any of those things. We don't react to those things anymore because we're operating under a higher government, and we're operating out of the laws of heaven, and walking in his ways, irrespective of what other people are going to say or what other people are going to think and what gets put in the internet or anything else. You know, we have to be confident in who we are as children of God, who we are, our identity, our calling, our destiny, and be willing to do whatever it takes to outwork it. You know, and that's what Joshua and Caleb were like. You know, Caleb, it says, has a different spirit about him. And even when he was 80-odd years old, his attitude was, I'm coming in and out to war. I'm going to take the high ground. Give me the place where the giants are, because I'm going to get rid of those giants, and I'm going to take the best of the best in the land of Canaan. You know, because that was his spirit. He caught hold of what it was to receive the promises of God and bring people into that himself, which is great, you know. So God is looking for people with a different spirit, you know, and, you know, so I'm looking for as well.
That's really good. That's very helpful, you know, because when you're kind of in the process, it's hard to see, you know, what's, you know, outside looking in. But, you know, I realize, you know, that's kind of, you know, in the last couple of years, God is really, you know, at one point, like I said, to, you know, at a party where like 45 people were coming, you know, I'm at this point in my life right now, I'm like, man, if I could get 10 people to come right now, that would be amazing. Just because this process has been very, you know, it's just been controversial to people. You know, when you say, well, this is what I do, people just look at you like you have three heads. And I'm like, well, it's not, you know, I wish I could say that, you know, all of these things have, you know, but I'm just still in that process of, you know, I don't really care what people have said, but the people, I am still working through processes of not, you know, of the control. I'm dealing with that currently. You know, am I going to still be able to enter in? You know, anyway, there's so many processes that go through in this process. So, you know, it's good to hear you speak like that big picture kind of thing, just because it helps to understand, oh, okay, well, this is what I'm going through now. Oh, okay, well, that makes sense then. So it's just good to hear you talk about it like that. But there's got to be other people having questions. Like, I don't want to take up all your time here.
Okay. Anyone else want to ask anything? Go on, Patricia.
I have a question. Can you hear me, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay. It might be redundant, but God had shown me years ago in regards to the church, how the church structure was like the family. The mom, the dad, the aunts, uncles, daughters, and sons. And I was wondering, because our church structure is the bench of three, but I don't know that much about the bench of three. How does that modality as far as the family versus the bench of three?
Well, if you sort of consider that everything that we're called to be here should be patterned or after what is in heaven, then the bench of three in heaven are Father, Son, and Spirit, mm-hmm. where you have family, you have relationship, you have culture of honor, you have preference for one another. You know, it's like the Father sends a Spirit, the Spirit points people to Jesus, Jesus points people to the Father. There's just no competition. There's just this intimacy of relationship, but there's also government. And so there should be no contradiction between that. So, you know, in biblical times, you had the patriarchs who were the fathers, if you like, and they were seen as representing God on earth. You know, that's what Adam was. You know, he was a father. And so it's always been that way. I don't see any difference in that. Again, when you look at the four faces of God and how the four faces of God are representing his nature, you get both mother and father and son in those attributes. You know, because, you know, when you look at the words and where they originally came from, the yod, hey, vav, hey, and actually you can see different aspects and things of God that come through those names that we need to embrace. You know, so I think, you know, the challenge in terms of structure is the problem with the word structure, because it immediately sort of impresses upon you that, oh, we don't want structure, we don't want structure because structure has been negative. Well, structure is only there to facilitate life. If I didn't have any bones in my body, I would be a heap of jelly on the floor. You know, so that there has to be some structure to support life. And the structure that God wants us to embrace is that which is in heaven. So you have the bench of three, you have the four living creatures representing the four faces of God. You know, you have the seven spirits of God. You know, you have the 12 elders and the other 12 elders. There is a governmental structure, and we're just learning to embrace what does that actually practically mean, and how do we then, in that government, don't do things how we used to do them, but do things in a heavenly way, establish things in the heavens first so that they can then be outworked on the earth. You know, it is a new paradigm, and because of the sort of the pastoral structure of of how things have been, rather than an apostolic and prophetic foundation, then the pastoral structure hinders the big picture often, and you know, it's very much people focused rather than God focused. You know, and I remember, I can't remember who said it, but so you know, do we want to be a church that hosts the presence of God or hosts the people of God? And most church structures are there to host the people of God, because if the people aren't there, then there's a fear there won't be enough finances, there won't be enough this. So there's compromises to host the people and to make sure the people are happy, when actually we're supposed to be actually challenging the people to pursue their destiny in God, which means they're not always happy, because you have to challenge them, just like God challenges us all the time to change, to grow, to mature. You know, he does it with a smile on his face, and he does it with a countenance over us, which is love and acceptance, but he's calling us into maturity. And so the whole battle between apostolic and pastoral is one that has hindered the church in embracing the things that God wants to embrace, because pastoral ministry does not bring blueprints out of heaven. It organizes things to help people and minister to people and look after people and care for people, which is great. It's needed, but it's needed in the context of a bigger apostolic picture. And so when you see the four faces of God, you have kingly, prophetic, and apostolic forming government, because three form government in heaven, but you have four. And the fourth is the priestly function, which is to bring heaven and earth together in unity. So there's agreement between heaven and earth. That opens a window to pour out blessing. And where there's no earthly and heavenly agreement, then there's nothing that's going to be manifested in blessing in unity. And that's really the crux of where it comes when it comes to church structures of leadership and things like that. We have to embrace the apostolic and the prophetic and the kingly function to bring complete unity with the priestly, sort of more pastoral approach to things, because there's no need for any conflict. We just need to see it in its right godly order. You know, a culture of honor and developing honor for one another and the differences of views that we have, so that we see a big picture and bring together the different views, and the different redemptive gifts are all part of that. That's so important. So when you're developing sort of new forms of government and benches of three who administer the kingdom in that way, it creates a mess, because it brings to the surface everything that's there that is non-relational, non-honoring. And, you know, I've been through this several times now with different groups. Everything starts to come to the surface. You have to be committed to working through relationally the issues that come up, so that we love one another, we trust one another, there's transparency, there's openness, there's nothing of backbiting or anything. We know that we can trust those other people implicitly. Now, we had to work through that process here, because in the past, because of previous leadership models or people being let down, people being disappointed, people being abused in authority, all sorts of different reasons, there's a suspicion and there's a lack of trust, which if we're going to have a model of heaven on earth, there is no lack of trust or honor between Father, Son, and Spirit. And the seven spirits of God are absolutely committed to bringing a revelation of the Father, Son, and Spirit in terms of positional authority to people. And the four faces of God and the four living creatures represent the four elements of God's nature, so that the full nature of God can be operating on earth as in heaven. And that's not getting into the 12 apostles and the council and that sort of stuff, and there's all sorts of other stuff. But, you know, it is a really, really important process. And anything that's going to transition from church to ecclesia, which I think is what the transition is, it's going from a old model with an old name back to the original name of what it originally was, which is a gathering of God's people, an ecclesia around a purpose, which is an apostolic purpose coming out of heaven, then that is what the transition is about. And there'll be those who do not want to go that route, and there'll be those who embrace it and are willing to work through the pain of overcoming family relationship that's demonstrated in Father, Son, and Spirit is what needs to be demonstrated at all levels of connection between the different ministries and between different areas of government, you know, knowing the areas that we're called to so that we can administer them effectively. And it's a big problem. People don't want to take responsibility. You know, we've had it here. There's been a struggle. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to release you into this, into your calling, into what God's called you to. Yeah, we're going to invest you on your mountains. And then it's sort of like, but what am I doing? How do I do this? No, I'm not sure I can do it. And because responsibility, in one sense of the word, means to govern and to rule and to administrate. The other sense of the word is, you're accountable, and therefore if it goes wrong, the accountability stops with you. Oh no, I don't want that, you know. And so we have to learn to realize that in God there is no punishment. There's no sense that he is waiting to punish us or to beat up on us in any way. He wants us to grow and to mature, and therefore we got permission to make mistakes along the way and learn from them and overcome them. So there's no fear, needs to be no fear in taking responsibility for that which we've been given by God. because he expects us to make mistakes. You know, he's not expecting perfection. He's just expecting a desire and a willingness to pursue holiness. You know, and that's a journey that we're all on. You know, so you know, it's a position right now where lots of places around the world are being challenged by it. You know, and structure of government things. You know, it's being challenged because the Spirit of God is beginning to stir that area. Because unless we operate in a passion of heaven, then we will not be occupied by heaven on earth. And I want the glory of God manifested. And it won't be manifested in that which it does not recognize. I mean, Ian calls it a shadow, you know, where the angels and where God recognizes a shadow, then he comes and occupies that space. And so we go from presence of God to glory of God. You know, and I'm longing for that to happen. You know, because then it won't be, oh, well, we all have subjectively experienced something this morning. Some people experienced nothing much, and other people had a wonderful time. God will manifest, and things will manifest in tangible form. There will be no doubt. Everyone will see the glory, and will see Jesus, and will engage him, because he will turn up in a glory rather than a presence. And I think we're in that journey of seeing that take place. But he needs to see something that reflects heaven in us personally as well. You know, he needs to be on the throne of our lives so that he can come and work through us. The same, you know, in all the sort of forms of gathering that are around, he's just looking for something that he can recognize, you know, and then he'll throw everything into that, you know, and sometimes it's just a glimpse, and that's why he blesses so many times. He sees a glimpse of something which looks like heaven, and therefore he just comes, even though the rest of it is probably junk. But he sees something because he's so generous and desiring to bless and to encourage and to draw us into the future and our destinies that he's willing, you know, to do that. But there's going to come a time where judgment is coming, where God is not going to punish. He's just going to say, this is not me, and that structure is not me, and my glory and my grace is not in that anymore, because I've demonstrated something new, and I've called you to step over into something new, and therefore the glory will leave the old, just like the glory left the temple. Not necessarily suddenly, but it left, and so some of them, they didn't even realize it had gone. You know, like Samson didn't even realize his strength had gone. And we don't want to be that way. We want to make sure that we're, you know, following the cloud of fire and pillar of cloud where it goes, you know, rather than following our own patterns or previous generational patterns. Actually, no, where is God moving, and I'm going to follow him regardless, you know, and that means that we're always going to be, you know, in his will and following the right path, you know, rather than searching for it. Yeah. Okay.
I think a lot of us we experience things just by happenstance, just by the grace and the mercy of God. We enter into the Spirit and experience his glory. And I think the systematic way of teaching will put words to experiences that we don't have the words for.
Yeah.
Sometimes we experience things, but we don't know how to explain it. And so taking the systematic approach allows the words to be put to those experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. It's definitely God's desire that we understand, not by intellect, but by experience, that we see patterned in heaven, you know, and that's part of it, you know. And I think, you know, God's desire is really releasing a sound from heaven right now and wooing and calling and drawing people to just come deeper and get closer so that they can experience these things and say, yeah, I want more. You know, I want more of this. You know, and so his grace is being poured out. You know, and since, you know, 1993, we've had the wine of the Spirit flowing for that sense of fatherhood and sonship and intimacy. And there's been this call to intimacy, you know, and it will keep on calling people to intimacy. It'll never stop until Jesus returns, you know, but there are other phases of what God is doing, and certain people will, you know, there are still certain groups and people, many, many people in the church systems that have never experienced true intimacy, have never tasted the wine of the Spirit and seen how good it is, you know. On the basis of that, knowing love and fatherhood, then I've no problem in God disciplining me and training me and equipping me and transforming me, because then gathering of stumbling blocks and removing the obstacles in me is an act of love, not punishment. But for those who have not embraced intimacy and know the love of God and the absolute understanding that they're loved, affirmed, approved of, and there's no performance in it, those who have not experienced that struggle when God starts to try and change, I want you to change, I want you to grow, I want you to mature, because they see it potentially as God's wrath and God's punishment rather than God's blessing to equip us to move on. You know, so there's processes or stages that people are at all over the world within the Christian community that God's not going to give up, but he's moving. And those who are at the forefront of that get to move first. But they get to pay the cost of moving first, of having to push through and break through and challenge what's going on. It's not easy to be a forerunner. As soon as they crossed over, what did they face? Jericho. This almost city that was impossible to defeat with human terms. You know, their chariot races on the top of the walls, they were so thick. You know, so they had to give up human effort and seek God's kingdom perspective. You know, so the whole ground opened up and swallowed the walls because they followed strategy that came out of heaven. You know? So, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff that God's doing right now. I better